Amen. Give God a big old hand clap of praise again this morning. Amen. Y'all be seated. Well, I don't have to tell you, the building's getting built, and it's going to be great when it gets bigger, and we're going to have a whole lot more fun. Amen? Amen. Boy, if I could get y'all wound up, we'd be all right, you know? Man, I got to tell you, it just blesses my heart when y'all come down and just dance and have a good time in the front of God. I mean, it just don't get no better than that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Carolyn, for what you did this morning. Also, got a couple of announcements. My wife's outside, so I can say this so she won't get mad at me. If you'd like to go look at junk on Good Friday, March 3rd, well, actually, the ladies are going antiquing, all right? Antique. Now, for me, antique is junk, but to them, it's treasure, all right? So if you would like to go antiquing with the ladies on Good Friday, March 30th, meet right here at 7:30. They're going to carpool together. They're going to go eat breakfast before they go, and everybody's taking, like, trucks and SUVs and all that other. Ma'am? 7 o'clock. So if y'all want to go, come at 7 o'clock. If you're here at 7:30, you ain't going, okay? So, all right. Couple other announcements. If you have any prayer requests whatsoever, get with Connie Fuentes. And Connie, would you stand so people know who you are? Amen. There she is in the back. Amen. Amen. Make sure that you have them. Next week is Easter. It's going to be an awesome day. The children are going to present a little play called The Empty Tomb. So it's going to be an awesome time. April 13th and 14th is the Men's Spring Advance. And then, okay, everybody listen up. Pastor D and the technical team, Karen at top, we need people that know how to operate or would like to learn how to operate lights, how to operate the computer and the sound. There's a lot of intelligent people out here. She needs help. Corey says probably in more than one way, right, Karen? So, you know. But no, we really need help upstairs. So if you would love to be a part of a wonderful team, get with Pastor D, get with Karen, because we really, really need the help upstairs. Amen? Amen? All right, well, let's begin one more time with a bigger word, a hand clap of praise to God today. Amen. Next Sunday is Easter. It's the day that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. It's a day of celebration for all of us. So if I run over here and tell Oscar, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he's going to be excited. Same thing to Leo or Larry or Dolores or Norma or Marcia. But I want you to look. We did this morning. I want you to, okay, there it is. All right. I want you to look at the title. If you don't have the one, don't expect the other. Okay? Now, Easter's a wonderful time of celebration. It's truly a time when we get to celebrate the risen Lord. But there is so much in that package that I think that we overlook. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Now it says, but what does it say? It's a question that you have to ask. It's a question that you have to ask yourself. What does it say? It says the word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Well, what's in your mouth and what's in your heart? And it says that is the word of faith which we're preaching. That is. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, and that results into salvation. Easter provides the hope and the answer to every problem that society's got. Every problem. In this room right now, there are Democrats, there are Republicans, there are liberals, there are conservatives. There are all different kinds of people and beliefs in this room. We all have an opinion. An opinion is like your elbow. We all got one. But the only thing that matters is what lines up according to the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference what you think in regards to a Democratic platform or a Republican platform. It doesn't make any difference. You and I have got to get to the place that when we make decisions in our life, that it lines up according to the Word of God and that it glorifies God with everything that we do. And Easter provides the hope for this cotton-picking crazy world that we're living in today. Now, look at Romans 10, 8 and 10 again. But what does it say? Well, it says that the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And that's the word of faith which we're preaching, that we proclaim. The word, church, is the answer. I know there's nobody in our church that ever does this, but if sometimes that you're having a problem with your spouse, I mean, that doesn't happen at New Harvest. We all get along together. But if you got a little problem with your spouse, it's not based upon your opinion. It's based upon biblical precepts. And if we have a problem, we need to go back to the Bible to go, this is what the Bible says. Husbands, you need to treat your wife just like the church. Now, see, here's one of the things, and I think the guys kind of got the bigger load on this. It says that you got to treat your wife as a church. That means with forgiveness and 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 forgiveness. Now, you ladies are going to go, I don't need to be forgiven that much. Yeah, you do. But then it says, for the wife, just submit to the husband. And I'm just telling you, if y'all just do it, we told you to do the first time, it wouldn't be in the problem we had another time, okay? I mean, there it is. Right, Larry? Amen. Amen. Larry's going, amen, brother, hallelujah, that's right. But in all honesty, the answer to every problem, child problem, financial problem, spouse problem, employment problem, any problem that we have, the answer is in the book. And the word is the answer. But the other thing that's important is, where is it? It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. God tells us, he says, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. You know, we can destroy a marriage with our mouth. We can destroy relationships with our mouth. You know, our mouth gets us in the trouble that we're normally in. And we have to get to the place to go, it's not about the mouth as much as it is truly about the heart. So how near is the word? Look at Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Now see, that's one of the things that's important in the Christian faith, is to go, you and I have been crucified with Christ. We're not living, but Christ lives in us. Keep that and kind of set it aside for a moment. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in myself. No. We live by faith in the Son of God. Who did what? Loved me? And gave himself up for me. See, people will say, well, Jesus Christ died on that cross. He didn't die. He gave himself up. He said, Daddy, my work is done. And bring me on home. And he was ushered back home. Now, we know that his body had died. We know that they picked him up and they put him in the tomb, and we know the story how they sealed the tomb so no one could steal him. But see, what I love about this is on the third day, on the third day, you know, when Satan was having his party, boy, they had a sleepover on the first night. They had a drunk fest on the second night. But they had one heck of a surprise on the third night, because he was risen from the dead. Amen. Amen. Now, acceptance is the key to the supernatural miracle that's available to everyone that is in this room. So how near is the word? It lives right here inside of you. And how do you get it out? It comes out of your heart and out of your mouth. Death, life, it's up to you. If you speak the word, you speak life. If you want to talk Satan's trash, you speak death. But what we need to do when we don't understand, we look in the book, we find the answer, and we speak the truth of God in our life. Now, Romans 10:9 says that if you confess, if is a big word. It is a conditional conjunction. It is a condition. It's a thought of as real, or it denotes an assumption, and the assumption, in other words, is viewed as factual. Okay? It, if, should never be translated since you prayed to receive Christ. It needs to be translated as if you pray to receive Christ. And if means that, church, you've got a choice. Amen. It means you got the choice to accept. Amen. You got the choice to deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You do. But if you confess, then you will have in your life a supernatural miracle that comes from God, and it's based on a condition, but the condition is based on the word if. Okay? Now, you got to get funny with this on occasion. It just doesn't work sometimes. Dusty can make it work. I can't. Now, it says, if you confess. Confess means to voice the same conclusion. In other words, to agree, to profess. It means to become in full agreement, to align. It means to endorse. Now, here's the challenge that we have. Steve, what's it mean to align ourselves with something?
Be of the same mind.
Be of the same mind. Okay? Oscar, what do you think it means to endorse something? Be on the same page. See, you and I have got to get to the place in our Christian life to do what it says. If we confess, then we are voicing the same conclusion. Whatever God said in his book, then is true. If God said to do it, you do it. If God says don't do it, then we do our very best not to do it. But we have to be in agreement, and we have to align ourselves up with the word of God. If you confess, if you voice the same conclusion, to align yourself with the word of God, and you endorse the word, then you are able to receive the supernatural miracles that God promised, and then Easter, I promise, is going to have a brand new meaning for you and me. See, Easter is not just a day of bunny rabbits and chocolate. Now, it seems like we've included those in it. But I'm not eating chocolate, I got to tell you. I ain't doing that no more. So, Larry, it's hard, but I'm trying, okay? I passed by them chocolate-covered eggs at the store yesterday. And all the way as I walked by, they went, no, we're over here. Over here. I ain't going to eat them. Romans 10, 8 and 10 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we're preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as what?
Lord.
Now, here I want you to see something. We have been raised to believe, church, that when we confess Jesus Christ, that we confess him as our Savior. Scripture does not say confess Jesus as Savior. He says confess Jesus as Lord. Now, go back to the very title that I had before. You can't get one without the other. Now, here's where the rubber is going to meet the road. The definition of Lord means when one exercises absolute ownership rights. Okay? Now, God is the creator of everything. He is the creator of the light, the darkness, the water, the sky, the ground, the vegetation, living creatures, and mankind. Anything that has been created, God has created it. And we know that God had created this perfect environment where man could fellowship with him. We know that sin broke that fellowship. But the real issue, church, begins with the word if. If you're willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Because if you are, then a person who confesses has a person who has absolute ownership over the one who confesses. It's easy for you and me to sit down and go, oh, no, that means that the Lord becomes number one. You and I become number two. Amen. That means that he tells us what to do, amen, when to do, mm-hmm, how to do, where to go, what to buy, what to spend. He is the one that guides our lives. Amen. Now, again, you can't have one without the other. Now, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. The word believe means to be persuaded. There's not one person in this room that at one point in time in our lives were not about two steps from the gates of hell. Our lives were bad. We didn't know where to do, where to go, how to even get there. And then someone came in and began to preach the word of God to us. And then we began to listen. And then all of a sudden that word persuaded us to go, where you are is not where you need to be. God wants you over here. And I remember September 12th when somebody came, 1990, and said, Keith, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? And I said, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. And we went back and bantered and finally said, that's not the question. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? And I said, no. And on that day, I prayed to receive Christ. And that was, amen, amen, amen. But that was the day that I never had a drink of scotch again. You know, up to that day, I was drinking a gallon of scotch a day. You know, started out with Chevy's and I ended up with Smuggler's. You could put it in your lawnmower to start your lawnmower. It was so cheap, you know. But the sad thing with it is you get to a place where you're persuaded to affirm, to have confidence that, you know, I know where I was, but I know where I am. And today I know how I got to be where I am. And it's because I believe. See, it's easy to confess with your mouth. Everybody here can confess, but it's all too often based upon emotions. If you're here today from the phone call that I received Friday, I'm extremely happy that you're here. But I got a phone call from a person on Friday morning. And Mona, you know, I picked up the phone and I went, hello? And they went, who's this? To which I, in my normal nature, went, well, who's this? Well, I'm not telling you who you are. And I went, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if you ain't telling me, then I ain't telling you, okay? So finally I said, this is Pastor Keith Anderson. And boy, I'm telling you, this person lit into me with both feet. He said, I got to tell you one thing. He said, the noise you guys are making out here, he said, it's vibrating our homes. He said, y'all are so selfish, you don't think about what we're doing. I mean, it was just on and on and on and on and on. And finally I said, listen, God bless you, I love you, but I'm not going to argue with you. Have a great day. And I hung up the phone. So just as I was hanging up the phone, I could hear this person go, well, I'll call the city, you know, and that's when I hung up. So I said, okay, I'll call the city for you. So I called the city. I said, hey, we've got some people complaining. Y'all are the ones that are asking us to build this very large lake in the back that we could put sharks in, you know. But you know, and they said, Keith, just go do what you got to do. So I said, okay, so we did it. So that afternoon, I called the guy, and he says, listen, I said, I've called the city. I've done everything I know how to do. It's going to take about 4 weeks for us to finish the process. And then a guy says this. He said, listen, he says, you know, my wife had surgery. She just had a tumor taken off her back, and her mama died. And I went, okay, here's the key. Here's a guy that's filled with emotions. We are all filled with emotions, and we all do things based upon emotions. And all too often, people will come to church because someone has told them, someone has brought them, some might even be dragged to church, okay? And then some pastor gets up and he'll, you know, give some invitation call, and people come and confess strictly out of emotions. But when they leave, they got the same problems, the same challenges, because they just did it for the wrong reason. And I'm here to tell you that when one believes in their heart, then one has absolute 100% confidence in what they confess that they believe in. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in those things because they help us, you know, where we are today in our life. Now, here's something that I want to ask. When turning around in a car, say you miss your exit and you turn, what turns the car? The steering wheel or the car? Or the person steering? Well, candidly, it's the person steering. And that's the problem today. We sit down when you know, what turns a person around today, it's not the confession that we make or that one speaks. It's the heart that actually comes from the place where the confession is made. You know, if you look at society today, and again, we are warped, you know, and if there's anything that I'd love to do is go back to term limitation so that it doesn't become a full-time job for these wonderful, wonderful people up there. If they come back home, we could evangelize to them because I think they need it. Mm-hmm. But the problem that we have today is that guns is not the issue, it's a heart issue. You know, immigration's is an issue, it's a heart issue. You know, whatever the issue is that we face in America today, it's a heart issue. And if you and I can change the heart through the Bible and the Word of God that comes out of our mouth, we could have a society that would be wonderfully worth living in. But it's going to take you and I to change the heart, and it all begins with the Word. Now, look at Romans again, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God. See, our confession and belief has to be based on God. I work on one of the committees at the rodeo, and one of the guys came up and he says, you know, everybody's talking about God and Allah and Islam and everything. He says, you know, God and Allah is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, I'm pretty quiet. I don't say a whole lot. You know? But I went and I told the guy, I said, listen, man, I said, they're not even the same thing. I said, you know, I worship God. God's son is Jesus Christ. Allah has a self-appointed person by the name of Muhammad. I said, they're not the same. And you and I have got to get to the place that our confession and belief is based upon God, not Allah, not Confucius, not Buddha, not John Smith, or the 30,000 idols of the Hindu faith. Our confession and belief has to be based upon God, because God is alive.
Amen.
And the written word that you guys bring with you is alive. See, you go back to the very beginning of the book, it says, in the beginning, God. And everything that we have is based upon God. Everything that we are today is based upon God. Every promise that we receive is based upon God. And when we get to be in heaven, it's based upon God. Now, Romans 10, 8 through 10 says that God raised him from the dead. Why is that so important that you and I come here today and we sit down and we specifically talk about confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? And the biggest reason is if we don't believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, then there'll be no Easter. There would be no Easter for any of us. But see, here's the bigger reason that I want you guys to understand. If Jesus Christ is dead and he's still in the tomb, then we have the same kind of worthless faith that all the other religions out here have, is that their God is dead and so is ours. But let me give you some good news. But on that third day, they took Jesus off that cross. They put him in that tomb. And they sealed that tomb up. And if we were there, we would have been just like them. We would have went, I gave up all of my life for this. But on the third day, there was only one set of footprints that came back out. And that set of footprints came from a living, raising Savior that was raised from God. And the same resurrection power, church, that raised him from the dead. And let me just say this gently so y'all don't get your feelings hurt. But the same resurrection power that raised him from the dead is the same resurrection power that's going to raise your nasty self from the dead too. Amen. I mean, how awesome is it that you and I can come today to go that God raised him from the dead? I believe that he's alive and that he's well, and that I too on Sunday have got the same benefits that Christ has got, that I was dead to sin, but woo, I've been raised to walk in a brand new life. It says that if we do these things, you'll be saved. Let me go back. I did this morning. What's the definition of salvation? What do you think it is?
Salvation, being free from everything.
Being free from everything.
The key to the kingdom.
Amen. Key to the kingdom. Michelle?
I'm alive.
I'm alive. Daughter-in-law, what do you think? Everything. Okay. Roberta, what do you think? Child of God. Oscar? Redeemed. Look at this, and I think this is so cool. Salvation means welfare. It means prosperity. It means deliverance and preservation and safety. But see, you can't confess that Jesus Christ is Savior without first confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then he has complete ownership
over you. And again, that means that you are now no longer number one. You know, prior to Christ, when your life goes awry and you go, what in the world is going on? Look in the mirror. That person that you see is the one that just put you in that mess. But now what we ought to do when we look in the mirror is not see us, but see Christ. Because see, Christ doesn't look, or God doesn't look at us. He sees Christ through us. Because Christ is the one that solved all of the problems of mankind. And again, welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation and safety. Psalms 91, and you know it. Those who dwell, Hallelujah. Those who are willing to set up habitation, yes, can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And in that shadow is where we say, that is my refuge and my strength. That is my God in whom I trust. But how awesome is it that we have salvation and we have the privilege to stand in the shadow of God. Now, what you see is good. What I'm going to show you here is even better. Now, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Now, grace, the acronym for grace, stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. We understand what salvation is all about, and it's through faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for. It's the evidence of things that you and I have never seen. And it says, and that not of yourself. You and I got nothing to do with this. Amen. Nothing. For one reason, it is a gift from God. Amen. So what's the gift? Well, we've already talked about welfare. We've talked about prosperity. You know, there are people today, and I had someone years ago said, pastors ought to be the poorest people around. They ought to swear this vow of poverty. I'm like, well, that's not the God that I worship. Because, see, God wants all of us to be prosperous. Because, excuse me, how can we help other people if we're broke? How can you pay for someone's gas if you're broke? How can you pay for someone's meal if you're broke? How can we as a church pay for a light bill if someone's broke? How do we do this? You can't. And I believe that God wants this entire church to be prosperous. Hallelujah. But here's the other deal, is deliverance. I was arrested at 12 years of age. I stayed drunk till I was 38. And I was held in the bondage of alcohol. A lot of people go, well, that's a genetic condition. I don't agree. My dad was an alcoholic. His daddy was an alcoholic. My great-great-grandfather was an alcoholic. Did I drink? Yeah. But it was a choice. I don't think there's anything genetic in it at all. I think I was influenced, but I personally believe it was a choice that I made. But when I met Christ, one of the gifts that I was received was a gift of deliverance. That what used to hold me was broken. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Give God a hand clap for him. Psalms 91 says that our God will give his angels charge concerning us to guard us in all of our ways. He provides safety for you and me. And then, church, if nothing gets you excited today, he has given you righteousness. He has given you the right, church, to stand in the presence of Almighty God. I can stand here and talk to my daddy all day long, 24 hours, whenever I want to, all because of what Christ has done for me. And then justification. I know that you guys are perfect in this room. I know that y'all never make any mistakes in it. Yeah, Leslie's going, oh, I don't know. But here's the great thing about it. Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one in this room that is perfect. But we have been provided justification. Justification means just as if you never sinned. And it's because of the works of the cross that sin was forgiven. And our task, God's given us the gift of repentance. He's given us the gift of confession. All we got to do is go, Daddy, I messed up. And he goes, hon, it's okay. I forgot about it. Let's move on down the road. And then it's done. Amen. There's mercy. There's grace. There's forgiveness. Do you know that when it's all said and done, that you don't have to be nailed to that cross because of the substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus Christ has done for you and me? And then the last thing, church, if you can't get excited with this, you're dead. You got eternal life. That means we live forever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah. We're going to be dancing just like Angel. See, I love it when y'all come in to dance and some people get up and dance and y'all are sitting over there kind of going. Lord, years ago when y'all on the dance floor drinking beer, y'all were nuts. Going, y'all just need to get nuts in front of the Lord here. And here's the last thing. Boy, if I did that, I'll be sitting there like this tomorrow going. Church, if is conditional. But if you and I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then your condition turns to a permanence. A permanent supernatural inheritance. Where somebody, I think Roberta said, she's a child of God. You and I can wake up every day to go, I am a child of God. I have been set apart. I don't have to operate like the world because I am a child of God. I've got all the gifts that Daddy has given me. There's a permanence. They can't be taken away. And if you and I could ever get to the place to understand who we are because of Christ, the Easter story would be so awesome to tell people. But it all begins with the word if. Because if you don't have the one, you never, never can expect the other. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen.